Coming up on the Branding Deep Dive podcast.
So if you then start building a website and you open up an AdWords account and you find people that are looking to solve this problem and you send them to your website, you can, for $10 a day, can get, maybe, you know, the clicks are expensive. They're maybe 25 cents. So you get 40 people every single day that will go to your website. You put Hotjar on it. You figure out what they do on your website, where they stop looking, where they click and whatever. And that's how you start the process. And then the first one that buys will may cost you 20 days or maybe even a whole month. But that's how you learn. And you try to optimize for that. And really, if you start with that from day one, it's not about the product. It's about, can I convince people that I can solve this issue, this problem for them? And then you're on to something that has a commercial success.
This is Ahmed Chima, and welcome to the Branding Deep Dive podcast. If you're new here, this is a podcast where we have in-depth discussions about what brands are doing well to drive customer loyalty and how you can take those principles and apply them to your own brand. Today, we're talking to Peter Lindberg. Peter is the founder and CEO of Mobilo, the smart business card. By simply tapping your Mobilo card on a new contact's phone screen, all your contact information will appear right on their phone. Peter has had his fingers on the pulse of technology since the 90s. He started multiple companies and has taken on 3D printing and RFID. In this episode, we dive deep into Peter's entrepreneurial journey, the different types of innovation, how Mobilo got their first customers, and much, much more. If you're a founder or want to be one, this episode is a must listen. Now, here's Peter Lindberg. Peter, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. Really excited to have you and discuss a lot of things with you. For the audience that may not be familiar with who you are and the work you've done, can you give them a brief introduction?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Ahmed. I'm incredibly excited to speak with you today. My background is in retail. So when I was 24, I took over an old-fashioned retail store, and digital photography was just up and coming. And I was one of the first in the Netherlands to combine online and offline shopping. After I sold that venture about 5-6 years later, I joined a 3D printing company, moved to New York. I'm originally from the Netherlands. And I stayed, stuck around here in New York City. I kind of like it here. It fits me well. And I started a new company about 2.5 years ago to solve contact exchange.
And that's Mobilo, right? Am I saying that right?
Correct. Yes, Mobilo.
Okay. I actually want to start at the beginning. So you mentioned that you had a photography business that you blended online and offline. Can you just walk us through how you, like, the whole, what the actual business was, and then how you knew, like, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, right? Like, you're, a young kid at this time, probably. Like, how did you know that this is a strategy that is going to be a winning strategy? Or were you just trying different things? Or, you know, like, how did you come to that solution?
Yeah, so first of all, I don't think you can claim you know anything when you're 24. you think you do, but it's really very different. So it started with me as a Friday afternoon and Saturday weekend job in sales, and I was really, really interested in everything electronics. So I really started like in sort of a Best Buy for the weekend, and I learned not just to sell, but there were some people around walking around in that store that taught me really how to sell well. So how to build trust, how to build trust in you, how to build trust in the store, and then how to explain about a product and really ask the right questions and get the right information. So at that time, retail was still sexy. There were beautiful stores all around. Flagship stores on Fifth Avenue were completely killing it. So that was that time. This was about 15, 20 years ago. So I was in love with retail, and I saw a change coming. On two fronts, I saw a change coming in the fact that the internet was up and coming and we're past the dot-com bubble, but the long-term value for me was there. Totally proven already that people in the future will at least completely do their orienting process online, and then 50-50 on whether they would buy online or get it in a store. I was still convinced for a long time that people would get it in a store, so I bought into that idea. At the same time, through my dad was working for one of the larger photo camera brands, I saw the switch from analog to digital as well. So these two things collided and really made my interest even bigger in retail. So I helped a friend who started a photo camera store, building on that wave of the switch from analog to digital. And I thought, after a year, I can do this myself and I can do it better than you. So I'll just look for somebody to help me and get started. So I took over a retail store that went bankrupt, but had an incredible location. And so with some guidance of a mentor, I was able to switch this store around and really build a strong online presence, more so as an online 24/7 brochure than anything else, right? So you sell the fact that if you have to compete on a screen, it doesn't really matter if you have a 2,000 square feet store or 100 square feet store, right? As long as you compete on this screen, I thought, this is my advantage. This is where I don't have to invest a lot of dollars, but still get the same return as the larger people around me. And that's what built the competitive advantage.
That's there's a lot of things that I wanted to dive in there. One thing that I find interesting is that so you were a part of this switch from analog to digital for the camera industry, and then you move on to 3D print. And then it seems like almost to someone like me that's looking from the outside that you take a step back and go into, near field communication technology, which is it's not the most, people nowadays are talking about, blockchain, NFTs, all this other stuff. And, it seems like NFC is something of the past, right? So I want to pick your brain here. Like, why is this the route you went? Someone that has been riding these waves, what is there to learn from what you focus on, what you chose to focus on?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that you think can pick up from how innovation works. And there are two types of innovations. One is an innovation where you just seamlessly take over, maybe even without noticing. So think about the step from coins at the subway to a card to using your Apple Wallet, right? There's nothing that will hold you back from making the steps and progressing and during that innovation. Now, after the retail adventure, I went into 3D printing, and that's where I saw a different type of innovation. People had to stop what they were doing to switch to 3D printing, because when I would talk to a big washing machine company, they would have to stop making washing machines as they did and really had to hire new people, then not hire new people, but also buy 3D printers before they could actually switch from the old manufacturing techniques to the new manufacturing techniques, even though it was obvious that the new manufacturing techniques had so many advantages on warehousing, on innovation, on costs and making produce things where they should be produced, reduce shipping costs. There were 1,000 benefits by making the switch, but still it was an innovation that would disrupt the way people were working. So then jumping over to NFC, and it's the same innovation. We try to fix something that you go from analog, a paper business card, to a smart business card. And but it's really, there's one thing that is different, and that is that 3D printing wasn't new as well, right? 3D printing started in the late 70s, and in the 80s, it was already heavily in use for prototyping. But now these days, it's only, so we're, 40 years later, and it's now being effectively used in production. So I think NFC and all of these new technologies, the same with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and but basically the infrastructure layers below it, the blockchain and how that all works, the impact of that is going to be only visible in 10 to 20 years from now for the larger scale. I think it's going to take a while for that infrastructure layer to be completely developed and before like every company has a blockchain strategy. It'll take a while. The same with NFT. There's been a tipping point in adoption because Apple opened up NFT scanning in 2018. So it takes a while before all of these models are out there, for all of these models are representing a majority. So now is the time to use NFT in your products. And that's the wave that we're riding. It's no longer a disruptive, like you don't have to buy a new phone to use this, our cards. Everybody has a phone that can use our cards. And that's why the time is right now.
Yeah, can you explain the card a little bit? How does it work exactly?
So here's for the people that are watching this on video. I'm holding up a card right now. It's the same size as your credit card. It has a chip inside. This one's made of wood and it's lasered with your design. And the only thing you have to do is you hold it against the top of your phone, and there will be a notification popping up on screen, as the people can see on the video. And I simply tap the notification and my contact details show up. And so may I remind you, there's no app necessary. So you walk up to somebody with your Mobilo card, you tap it on their phone, their contact details show up, just like Harry Potter with his on your phone, and that's it.
I think that's really interesting and something that I didn't really think about. So you're saying that like when these new technologies come out, the things that are seamless, it seems like they're able to catch on quicker and you reach adoption a lot quicker. Whereas like 3D printing, like you mentioned, you know, it's taken 40 years because, you know, you fundamentally have to shift the way you're doing business in order to adopt those techniques. That's not something I ever thought about. So appreciate you sharing that. One thing that I'm super curious about, I'm someone that also has like, you know, little things that I'm working on, little passion projects. You know, you created this. I really just want to take a real deep dive into Mobilo and the journey from the beginning. Really, I want to focus on the beginning, right? Like right now I'm on your website. You guys have says over 800,000 people have used Mobilo, you know, 10,000 teams. Like those are big numbers, right? Like how did you get your first 100,000 customers? I know you mentioned that you have a background in sales, so I'm assuming that played a big role here, but like, if you could just walk us through how you're thinking through that when you start this company.
Yeah, so my first month, October 2019, I sold 6 cards and I had $15 of revenue. that month, I gave away cards and asked people to pay for shipping. I'm not a believer of free products because then there's no commitment. I need to see an investment from somebody else's side, even if it's just $250 for shipping. That for me would be a validation that we're onto something. So this is what I would do. I took one of my cards and I walked over to my friends and family, tapped my card on their phone, starry eyes, right? Magic. Whoa, this is cool. Yeah. How did you do that? So I'm not going to tell you. Buy a card. You get it for free. You just pay for shipping. So when you convince your friends and family, and in my case, it's really hard to convince them because I had a new idea every month. So I'm sure you're the same way, right? There's always some healthy skepticism that you have to overcome, but it's good to ask your friends and family because you're right in front of them. They can give you feedback, and often they're not shy to give you feedback that is straightforward. And lots of people told me like, I don't use business cards or I hate business cards. And I was like, yeah, I'm the same way. I also don't use business cards and I hate them as well. And that's why I'm solving it, because we're still having the same issue, which means if I run into you, Ahmed, I would like to get your phone number or your email address to catch up and, you know, try spelling your name for me. Right. Yeah. That's a problem. So I learned more about what problem am I fixing than what product am I developing? And that's really, really important. So if you then start building a website and you open up an AdWords account and you find people that are looking to solve this problem and you send them to your website, you can, for $10 a day, can get maybe, you know, the clicks are expensive. They're maybe 25 cents. So you get 40 people every single day that will go to your website. You put Hotjar on it. You figure out what they do on your website, where they stop looking, where they click, and whatever. And that's how you start the process. And then the first one that buys will may cost you 20 days or maybe even a whole month. But that's how you learn, and you try to optimize for that. And really, if you start with that from day one, it's not about the product. It's about, can I convince people that I can solve this issue, this problem for them? And then you're on to something that has a commercial success.
Mm. So the focus needs to be, can I convince people that I can solve this product? And then, you know, you take the data and you can iterate from there. That's a really cool perspective.
I had a call the other day with an ex-Googler that built a massive gaming card trading website. So like Magic the Gathering or any of those card games, those cards are very valuable. And people want to sell them and buy them. And there wasn't really a specialized marketplace for them. And he said, Peter, I'm after talking to you, I realized that I used to try and find a problem with something cool that I built, but now I saw it the other way around, and this is how it works. You need to find a problem that you love and that you love to fix, and then you need to validate if that's really your problem. And then even better, if that's a problem that people are willing to pay for, right? Because if like, it could be a problem, but if people aren't willing to pay for it, you know, like, who needs water every single day? Everybody needs water, but can I sell it to you? Are you willing to pay for it? What do I need to do for it? Right. So there's so many things that we as, and I consider myself a geek and a nerd, and I can code, and I wrote the first version of the app and the server, and there's lots of cool things that we can do. But really, it all starts with falling in love with a problem and then validating that if that's an issue that people are willing to pay for, if you solve it for them.
So I know you mentioned that you did face some resistance on like, hey, I don't use a business card anymore. And like, honestly, when I was on the website, I was a little bit surprised at the numbers that you guys have. Right? Is it really like, is this problem really that big that, you know, people are willing to, you know, buy this card? And I know you have a few different, like, it's not a traditional business card is what I'm trying to say. I know you guys have a few different options. Can you walk us through like some of the other things that you're also doing with the business card, along with just your contact info? I know you guys have a few different options.
Yeah. So here's the, I validated this issue by going back in my memory. And a couple of years ago, I went to an opening of a new event space, like a team building space. It was a combined restaurant with all kinds of experiences. And I ran into the sales manager. And she said, hey, I'd love to stay in touch. Can you put your name and phone number here in this Notes app on my iPhone? So I looked at the Notes app and I saw 25, 30, 40 names and phone numbers there. I said, what if I accidentally erase this? Your whole evening will be lost, right? You spent, I think she spent over $50,000 inviting industry leaders and inviting them over, giving them free food, free drinks, and whatnot. They closed down the restaurant for the whole day. So I don't know. The cost must have been incredible. And you're putting everything on this Notes app that if somebody at the end of the day accidentally erases it, you lost all of your investment. And I thought, wow, this is something that has to be done differently. So started talking to my friends and in sales more. And so that's when you get more information on the problem. And we came up with a solution that is a combination of a card with a chip inside. You tap it on your phone, but also a smart button. It's a little sticker you put on the back of your phone. You tap another phone on it and it works. And there's a key fob that you can put on your keychain. And then there's, of course, the app. And from the app, I can also share my contact details. I can show a QR code on a video screen, on a video call to make sure that we exchange contact details right now. And so there's a whole suite of solutions around solving this contact exchange problem, including a team management panel. Because if you have a team of 10, 25, 50 folks and you need to make updates for them, or maybe you want to lock the title field, the role field, right? So you have 25 people working for you, and the next day they download the Mobilo app and they change their title into CEO, all of them. That would be fun, right? So that's something that we can give you control over. We can now start to see data and analytics. Where are your cards used? By who? How often? And then If they are used, is there a follow-up there? Is it imported into your CRM system? And are those contacts gathered by your company and actively used by your marketing teams? Right, that's all valuable information that wasn't available with a paper business card.
So I think what you're really highlighting here is something that I never honestly was thinking about. Is like the real world of networking is like still alive and running. And what you're actually doing is bringing real data into, right? You know, whereas in the past, you know, how are you going to track a notes app, right? And now you're providing teams the ability to track, hey, I met this many people. This is how many we're continuing the relationship with. And so I guess the question here is really like when it comes to networking and really like, if I have a team and we want to network and, you know, increase our sales and stuff, like what are the kind of, how are you thinking through that in terms of like what metrics should you be tracking and how do you coach your, I don't know if you actually coach any teams on this, but like if you were, you know, like I'm a customer of Mobilo, I have a team of 5 people, I want them to get the most out of this card. How would I be thinking through that?
Yeah, so you have to think about, the first thing is, does this make sense for my business? Where are my customers, right? If your customers, and you have, one of the biggest successful sales tips that I ever got was meet your customers where they are. So if you are a car dealership, where are you going to meet your customers? In the showroom, right? They show up, they come in, and together with that, on the website. And they fill out an information form or like, is this car still available or what's the price or whatever, right? So you have 2 sources for opportunities. And we, in Salesforce, you call them leads, right? So you have all of these leads. Now, there's plenty of people that sell products, large services, small services, doesn't really matter, small business or big business, and you meet people all the time. And what happens when you meet these people, you get a business card or you make a contact, you link on LinkedIn or whatever. But how many of those do you actually follow up with? Hmm. And that's your lost opportunities. Yeah. All of them are lost because you never followed up or you never put their phone number or email address in your marketing database. And so you never sent them a newsletter or you never sent them an update on how things are going. You never asked them, how are you doing? How can I help? Right. So there's something missing there. And we're slowly moving from a business card solution to more of a CRM, customer relationship management tool. And your team of 5 are meeting people left and right, whether it is on a birthday or online in a gathering or on a forum, or it really doesn't matter. As long as they are out there and meeting other people, you need to capture that. And then you need to follow up with them. And I've noticed whenever I tell people, hey, do you have any business cards that you keep from other people? They always open up a drawer and there's at least 1,000 business cards in there. So remember, if you have your team of 5 and they all have 1,000 business cards sitting in their drawer, those business cards are not in your CRM system. And they should be, because if they're in your CRM system, you would have now have had 5,000 people that you can engage with, that there's a warm relationship with, because they already gave them your business card. So you should be following up with them. You should be sending them every 3-4 weeks updates on where your product is going, on business cases, on what the weather will be in the next week. I don't care, whatever they're interested in, but you need to foster and build that relationship. And Mobilo is a tool to help you do that a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think one thing that you see in the marketing space quite a bit is like, people that are just getting into it, they don't really know what data to look at, and they feel like marketing is all based on feelings. But what you're highlighting here is that, like, look, we're making the data available, right? You know, we're providing visibility on all these different aspects. Like, every single touch point you can have visibility on. So I think it's really cool, something that I never actually, you know, was even thinking about, but I'm convinced I'm going to buy a couple cards. But yeah, I think one thing I did want to ask is, like, moving forward for Mobilo, you kind of touched on this. You're saying that you're moving more towards a CRM platform. Just you want to get your thoughts on the long-term vision. If you could shed some more light on, you know, where do you see Mobilo in 10 years and what kind of role that you play for your customers?
Yeah, I remember the first time somebody asked me, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I said, well, five years ago, Facebook didn't exist, and now everybody can't live without it. So it's really hard to see what's coming next. And but for Mobilo, we'll hopefully stay true to solving this contact exchange problem. I still believe when you meet people, we need to make this as easy and fluent as possible. You meet somebody, you exchange contact details, super simple, without awkwardness. And then you even the most, like, if I talk to my wife, she knows all of our friends and their husbands or wives' names or whatever. And I'm just not that kind of person that can remember all of that. I need help, and technology can help me stay in touch with prospects on the business side, on the professional side, but also on the social side. And I hope that Mobilo will be good help with technology to actually help in that social aspect of staying in touch and engaging those relationships and making them making my life a little bit easier. And with that, I hope a lot of people that face the same issue. So long-term future, let's keep on working on exchanging these contact details and make it super simple. We just added a feature in the app where you can, whenever you have a new contact in your app, that you can give it a status, like I'm waiting for a response or I still need to reach out. And, you know, we'll keep building on those things. They aren't new. We're just making it really, really simple. And that, I think, will be the key to adoption.
So, Peter, one thing I want to ask you is, like, you know, talking to you, I think it's clear that you're like a very smart guy and you know what you're talking about. Like, for someone that is looking to be an entrepreneur, right? Like, what is kind of the learning process, or like, what kind of things that do you need to learn so that you're in a good position to actually run a company, right? Like, I think people don't know where to even start. And then, you know, we look at Peter and it's just like, oh, you're so far away from me. Like, how do I bridge that gap, right? Any advice?
I'm not that far away because it feels like yesterday still. I think the best tip that I can give you is money, profits. It's crazy, right? The first business I started, I never heard of venture capital and investors. And then I joined a 3D printing company that raised over $100 million without making a dollar profit. And that's just like cuckoo to me. I still don't really understand the whole mechanics of that. But it's built on the promise that at some point this company is going to be $1 billion. So when you are a small business and you can't see that far ahead, you don't have access to all those means, I think it's really important that you realize that profits, money coming flowing into your company, is the air for your company to breathe. So whenever you start a company or have an idea for an app or a product or whatever, you need to test as soon as possible if this is going to be a viable business model. Are you going to be able to make money? And because every dollar you can make, you can put back into your company to hire a find a co-founder, or invest in software development, or add a new feature, or find a vendor, or buy that new product that you needed to launch something. So, and that's the hardest part as well, because you're going to be confronted with feedback. And everybody that starts a new product, has an idea, is afraid of feedback, because they're afraid to be confronted with, like, but what can be wrong? This is the best idea in the world. And getting past that fear is, I think, the first thing you need to do, because after that comes the reward. Because if you do find something that works and you do find something that you can charge money for, then that's when you say, okay, now I'm going to double down.
Is there, you're not like, you didn't go to business school, did you?
I do have an MBA, yes.
Oh, you do? Okay, would you recommend an MBA?
So here's, my story is weird. Don't do this. I finished high school. I did 2 years of my bachelor and then I quit. And then because I thought that building a business was much more enticing. And then so I did the retail adventure. And then when I joined, when I sold the company, I did an MBA. So I did my MBA when I was 29. And so I had about 7 or 8 years of business experience. And really during that MBA, I learned why certain things were going really well and why certain things weren't going as well. So for me, an MBA, doing that on a little bit of a later time in your life when you have some experience was super valuable. And also because I never had a decent education to begin with besides high school, for me, it was very valuable. But I don't know. I think everybody should figure out for themselves. I'm not the one to give advice on this.
Awesome. Yeah. Peter, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people find you? Is there a landing page that you send them to, or Mobilo? How can they get in touch? And if they want to buy a card, how can they get one of those?
Yeah, so go to mobilocard.com. Tour yourself around. If you want to get more information, schedule a meeting through either the contact form or the chat. And so go ahead and try that out. If you want to reach me directly, I'm happy to answer any questions, to help you with things if you need feedback on something, or if you have something that you want to know more about. Send me an email. It's Peter, at mobilocard.com. And if you open up your phone, the camera, and you scan this QR code that I'm holding up right now on screen, you can see my contact details, save it to your phone, and find all my contact information there. By the way, I think my name and email address is all over the website, so I'm sure you have no problem finding me. Happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Peter.
Now, as always, I have my key takeaways from this episode, but before we get into that, I want to share a clip with you from our discussion with Chris Blauvelt on founding LaunchGood.
Why should someone use your company, your platform, versus one of the established players out there? And there's always going to be an opportunity when it comes to personalized service. It's not scalable, at least early on, but that's okay, right? Because one of those other kind of aphorisms of Paul Graham is do things that don't scale. Early on, do things that don't scale. You know, it doesn't last forever. Like, you know, Brian doesn't still take photographs of people's apartments, right? But you know what they have done for Airbnb? They've set up a whole network of photographers that if you're listing your place on Airbnb, it's really easy to find a photographer in your location that can do the photographs for like, you know, a couple $100. And this is what they do, right? And so you'll find those opportunities to scale if you've created something of value.
If you enjoyed this discussion with Peter, I'm sure you'll also enjoy the episode with Chris. Check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. It is episode number 28. Now, here are my key takeaways. Number one, start with the problem. Don't start with a product. It's really important to hone in on the problem you're solving before you start building. And once you know your problem and have really honed in on that, then we have key takeaway number two, which is validate demand quickly and cheaply. Set up a landing page and run ads to it to see if people are willing to pay money to solve the problem. By validating demand quickly, it'll allow you to make sure the money you're spending to build out the product will have returns. And that is all for this episode. If you enjoyed this discussion, please leave a review and share with a friend. It really helps the podcast grow. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.